Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
Now that is a way to start a baseball season. I was at the game. Oh, by the way, welcome to the show, right? I'm skipping ahead. The Mariners are batting 1,000. Perfect. They're leading the division. We'll take it where we can get it. Great opening day. If anybody was there, we had an absolute blast. Anyway, this is not a baseball show. Not a sports show. Sometimes I'd like it to be. but thank you for joining us again, and I hope you guys are having a wonderful weekend. As always, a lot to talk about. I was thinking about that and talking to our analyst on the way up here to the show, the way up here to the studio. And I think we say that every single week we do the show. There's a lot to talk about. They're just a crazy world. The Pope came out and said that there's no hell. Did you hear this? The Pope came out and said there's no hell. And then I guess during prayer in the Vatican, it was sometime later that day when that news came out, plaster was falling from the roof of the Vatican onto worshipers the day that the Pope said that there was no hell. God was not happy about that. Just a crazy world, right? You've got Donald Trump as president, Roseanne Barr making a comeback to television, right? The Mariners win. The Pope says there's no hell. And this is, now I'm going to relate this to finance because this is why we don't try to predict where markets go, right? When anybody sits there and tells you they know what's going to happen, just cite off that list of events. Just walk them through it and just go, okay, who predicted this? The answer is nobody. But every once in a while, you get one right. A broken clock is right. We were actually joking about this with Kevin Muir. If anybody listened to the show last week, last weekend, we interviewed Kevin Muir, the Macro Tourist blog. And if any of you are macroeconomic nuts, finance geeks, self-professed like myself, give that a follow. Go to the Macro Tourist blog. I think it's just macrotouristblog.com. Anyway, Kevin Muir is a really bright guy. And he's a practitioner, which matters to me, right? He's actually doing the job and he's watching markets and investing and managing people's money just like we are. And that makes a big difference. We were joking around last week about how, you know, a broken clock's right twice a day and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things we spent the most time talking about last week was tech, right? The bubbles in tech. And we've been hot lately. I'm not gloating, and I make no guarantees at all that will continue. But like I said, every once in a while you get them right, and the timing part of it is mostly luck. But we were talking about the value of tech and tech companies, and how we have not seen markets as tech driven or tech laden, especially at the top. Right, we're used to seeing small tech companies that have exciting ideas trading at big multiples. We're not used to seeing companies with $500-600 billion in market cap trading at 10 times revenue. There really is no other example of that in history, in financial history. Because the way that valuations typically go is that the bigger the corporation, the more predictable and slow the growth rate, right? And as you go down, typically, so you go from big, there's an inverse relationship to value and size of companies, because typically the smaller, more exciting companies are growing at faster multiples, therefore they've got higher valuations. So this is sort of a market anomaly, and when I'm not going to get into it, we're going to get into the market update, but we've talked about this plenty in the past. Last week was a perfect example. If you want to go to the website at knowyourriskradio.com, you can listen to Kevin and I discuss tech extensively. But one of the things we talked about is the need to rebalance portfolios and make sure you're not too tech-laden. And if you own a generic large cap value even, or opportunity mutual fund, or an S&P 500 ETF, you are overexposed to tech even if you don't know that you are. Because tech now makes up 25% of the S&P 500. Again, we talked about this at great length last week. I don't want to rehash it. I do. I would love to sit here and talk about it more, but we've only got so much time. Anyway, we were talking to people, watch out. And it's not just, you know, again, we don't just focus on the fact that the stock's gone up. That's a good thing. You want to see stocks go up and values of companies go up, but it was the underlying valuations. They're insane. They're absolutely insane. And why more people don't talk about it? Why the Jim Cramers of the world, and again, don't mean to pick on Jim, but using that as an example, because most people know that. Why they're not worried about it, I don't understand. But we saw that this week, right? We saw Amazon drop by, I want to say 7%, something like that. We're about 7% off the highs. Yeah. So Netflix took a beating. Nvidia took a beating. Tesla got hammered. That's a different story. We're going to get into that later just because I think it's a fascinating example. I believe Tesla's sort of a microcosm of tech. We'll get into that later. In Value Matters, we're going to do a segment called Value Matters. But guys, the whole point that we were talking about last week, and we just so happened to get the timing, you know, right and lucky, was that you're going to get violent. You're going to get drops, right? You're going to get violent moves. And companies cannot sustain these valuations. They just can't. Amazon's an incredible company. It's taking nothing away from the companies. They haven't done anything wrong. But people have bid the stocks up to unrealistic levels. The companies cannot perform at that level. You know, there's the what we call the law of large numbers, right? That's why you don't see companies doubling their revenue to infinity. And this is where risk management really comes into play. And again, I don't think this is the beginning of the end. I'm not telling people to go run for the hills and hide and that tech's going to zero or anything like that. But I do think this is the beginning of a different level of scrutiny being paid to those companies. You've seen it with Facebook, right? Facebook is getting hammered in the media, and rightfully so. A lot of this stuff that's coming out with Facebook isn't news to us. We've been looking at this for a while. Having said that, it's even worse than we thought it was. And I, since we've been in the studio doing the show, I saw an alert come up on my phone on one of our research sites saying that a memo has come out from a high-level Facebook executive, and it's not good. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But, you know, as good as things can be, and we've all seen this, we most of the people listening to this show are adults, are obviously interested in finance or just trying to kill time. But we've all been around long enough to see these things. The worshipped and the adorned become the scorned. It's just a matter of time, right? It's just the way it happens. And the problem is at the height of their power, at the height of the popularity of something, the height of real estate in 2007, 2006, the height of the last tech bubble in 99, and now the what we call the large cap tech bubble, everybody worships it. Everybody thinks it's great. And whenever you see that, whenever, you know, the Uber driver's telling you, hey, are you invested in this stock or that stock, and everybody's in it. And like I said, probably 95% of the retail clients I sit down with have like the same, you know, all the FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, Tesla, Nvidia. They've all got them, right? When you see that, you just know that the tide is going to shift. Something bad is going to happen. The perception's going to change. And those companies are going to they're going to go through a tough time. And these are no different. And what I would tell you, again, it's not advice. I'm not picking stocks. I'm not telling you to short them. I'm not telling you to sell them. I'm saying that you need to make sure that your exposure is reasonable. You don't have to go liquidate. You don't have to go get rid of all of them. But you need to know how much skin you've got in that particular game. So anyway, and this very rarely happens. We got a call. This isn't the client question of the week that we always do, but we got a call this week from a guy that had called the show a little while back. We were unable to connect, and he called and I get on the phone with him and he goes, okay, you got to tell me, how'd you pull that one off? And I go, what are you talking about? And he goes, you know, your call this last week. How'd you know? And I go, I'm kind of dumbfounded. And I go, what do you mean? I don't typically get called by people saying, how did you get it right? Right. Usually the calls we get are like, hey, you said this and you're wrong. And so I was kind of, I was skipping, trying to connect with the guy and trying to figure out what he was talking about. And he goes, you had to have an inkling about something, some technical indicator that told you tech was going to get smoked. And I started laughing and I said, no, man, with the timing of it is luck. It really is. So I don't want to, you know, I've got my crystal balls as cloudy as everybody else's, but it's just, you just see these things, right? I mean, the perception is going to change. And the other, I will say one of the things that we look for though, as it relates to tech is, and we talked about this again over the last couple months, over the last 2 to 3 months, especially at the beginning part of this year, tech did well and tech's done big cap tech has done well for the last, 6-7 years. But something interesting happened in the last 3 months, and it was that the valuations actually accelerated. They separated from their long-term ratios, right? As a company grows, it can have a high valuation, and what you typically see is you'll see the valuation move up a little bit, and then the underlying performance of the company catches up. And then usually maybe the valuation will pause for a little while, then the underlying growth of the company will go forward again, and then the valuation will catch back up, and it trades in this range. There's this relationship on the value of the stock, typically, and the performance of the company. And then all of a sudden in the last 3 months, we saw this big ramp. It accelerated. Netflix went from like 10 times earning to 13 times earnings. Amazon took a jump. Nvidia went parabolic. Tesla went up and hit 360. And what we refer to this as investing is we call them blow-off tops. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened, but what I'm saying is whenever you see moves like that that break the trend to the upside, especially in something like that that's that overheated, you got to be careful. And it's a wonderful time to take profits. Like I tell people, I go, look, don't be afraid, but don't be greedy either. And it's undeniable that right now is a phenomenal time to sell assets. Does that mean we get out of the market? No. But, you know, maybe we should have 60, 70% exposure to stocks. But if we've let that portfolio run, we're probably around 75, 80, even 85%. Maybe we should have 60%. This is a wonderful time. Like I said, for the last 2 months, look at these surging markets as a wonderful time to revisit how much risk you're actually taking. And does it correspond? Does it match your long-term goals? And that's why this is such a wonderful time to take advantage of that. Because if it doesn't, and you need to pare back risk, wonderful. Because you're going to be selling and you're going to be paring back risk. You know, we're only 9.5% off the all-time highs. We're right there. It's a wonderful time. So, market update. You know, I hate to say it, but I think volatility's here with us to stay for a while. It's certainly elevated, right? We've talked a lot about volatility in the past. For those of you that don't know, if you want to track volatility, type in VIX, V-I-X. That is the volatility index. And what you're looking at is the price of insurance, okay? There are options. We've got put options. We've got call options. What the VIX is it's looking at expected volatility in the market. And if people think a market's going to be really volatile, or if they think the market's going to drop, they'll typically buy puts, because those are options that go up in price as the market drops. So as more people buy puts, the VIX goes up. The cost of those puts, right? Because the demand for them goes up, the cost goes up. And that's what the VIX, it's much talked about, very little understood. But what you want when you hear people talking about volatility in VIX, price of insurance, that's what you should think to yourself. If the VIX is high, people, either the market has dropped or people are anticipating a market drop. If the VIX is low, There's no need for insurance, or at least that's what people think, and the VIX will be low, and it reflects a low cost on insurance, right? So you want to keep an eye on that. Other than that, guys, it's just whipsawing back and forth. We're not traders, but traders call this an untradable market, meaning the volatility's good for traders because they want to see price movement, and that's how they make money. But at the same time, when you get whipsaws like this, if you're at home and you're more of a trading type, do not trade these markets. Okay, you'll get stopped out. You'll get stomped on. You'll spend more money going back and forth, getting in and out, and not getting anywhere. You know, just running in place. So be careful. That's really it. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff that we want to talk about in terms of politics and finance, that intersection of politics and finance. We want to also talk about conflicting economic signals because it is really bizarre. You know, it's not all bad bizarre. It's good bizarre, too. It's just a real odd mix of economic signals. We want to talk about that. We want to talk about Tesla, and we're going to have a segment called Value Matters, and I want to use Tesla as an example. Not beating up Tesla, not recommending you buy it, not recommending you sell it. We don't do that, but using that as an example of why value matters, because value's out of style, right? We talk about that a lot. It won't be. It always does come back. A good indicator is when people are starting to say Warren Buffett's lost his touch. That's typically when you want to be more into the value type stocks or just even Warren Buffett stock, Berkshire Hathaway. So we got a great show. As always, we're going to do the question of the week. That was a good one, too. So stick with us. And as always, guys, if you want to do a phone consultation about how we're managing risk for our clients, how we're lowering fees, increasing upside, integrating technological advances that we've integrated into our business, integrating that into our clients' portfolios, how we're insuring portions of portfolios against loss, but more importantly, how we're managing risk. If you want to know how we're doing that, it's usually a 10 to 15 minute conversation. Give us a call. There's no commitment. I had a conversation with a guy this week, and he's like, do I get to sign up to anything? Are you guys going to call me? Are you going to email me? And I said, nope, you'll never hear from us again unless you call us and want to meet with us. Consider it a free consultation. We're actually doing that, by the way. We're starting to work with the Everett Police Department. We're going to help out with their financial education courses and do some. And what a great way to reach out, right? Take care of the cops out there that are watching out for us all the time. And they asked, you know, would you be interested in doing it? And I said, heck yeah. And they were like, well, you know, you might not get any clients out of it. And I said, you know what? We're not even going to do that. We'll just come up and do a financial or help out with their curriculum and their financial literacy course that they're going to put people through, which I think is phenomenal. But we're going to be doing the same thing for the Everett Police Department. So if you want to go through that portfolio exploratory process with us, like I said, the initial consultation takes about 10 to 15 minutes. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can also go to the radio show website at knowyourriskradio.com, access all of our podcasts, all the interviews we've done in the past. Anyway, as always, I've gone way over time. My producers are looking at me sideways here, so we got to run and take a break. But stick with us. I have a great show coming up, and we'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried about running out of money in retirement or being a burden on family members due to an extended healthcare situation? Hey, it's Story Monson. I want you to go see Brian Ott with 525 Advisors. He's the host of Long Term Care Radio right here on Cairo every Saturday morning at 7. I want you to see Brian because 3 out of 4 of us will end up in a long term care situation during our retirement years. And if you're not prepared, it can mean watching everything you've worked hard for get whittled down by the high costs. Family members often pay a price because they're forced to put their lives on hold, but you can protect yourself and your family. Do what my wife and I did. Go learn about the new options available at Brian's next long-term care planning class. You'll learn about the newest options, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. It's free. It's coming up April 7th. Brian will even give you a copy of his book, A Guide to Long-Term Care Planning. Sign up today. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Are you worried that a market collapse like 2000 and 2008 could constrain or delay your retirement? Or maybe you're sitting on a pile of cash earning nothing? If so, call us and request our complimentary booklet, Common Sense Investing. Hi, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. We'll show you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, and I recommend Zach to you. Get Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for sticking with us. And wanted to mention, and I'm not sure if we're running the ads this week, Darren. Are we doing the Brian Ott spots? Okay, so we're going to have a, and stay tuned for this, because we're going to have a class that, Brian Ott at 525 Advisors doing long-term care. We're putting it together. I think Brian's on vacation right now doing like, I think he's down at Fiji or something like that. Yeah, it's, wish I was there. Don't we all? But anyway, he's going to be back and we're going to put a class together and kind of risk management, right? Because he handles a portion of risk management, which is long-term care. And for those of you that roll your eyes at it and say that, look, it's not right for everybody. And there's, we could spend, you know, probably like a 3-hour show talking about what makes it right for certain people and when we want to deploy it. The point is, if it is right for you, you may not know it, and it could be a really big hole in, you know, your retirement planning, because one of the biggest risks to your retirement is obviously spending it too fast, and the number one risk to spending it too fast is a long-term care scenario, and I've seen it firsthand. So anyway, I don't want to get too much into that, but if you're listening to our show, catch Brian's show every Saturday on 710, Cairo 710, or no, excuse me, 97.3 FM, Cairo, on at 7 in the mornings on Saturday. And we work with Brian because he's the best. He knows long-term care like nobody we've met, and that's where we send our clients. So keep an eye out there. Listen to his show and give him a call too. So anyway, we want to get into it. Want to talk about some conflicting economic signals out there. Now, this... a lot of different things we could use for client call of the week, right? One client asked me, you know, why do you guys talk so much about economic stuff? Why don't you talk about the nuts and bolts of investing? And I go, well, I think we do talk about the nuts and bolts of investing. And he goes, yeah, but you guys, you know, don't talk about, you know, whether to use this account or that account. And look, we do that. And I don't want people to not think that, you know, we have that expertise. You, pretty much everybody in the industry does. The reason we talk about this stuff is because nobody else does, right? We... clients, part of risk management is knowing what risks exist and then knowing how to properly protect against them, right? The administrative side of the business, right? Knowing, should we fund the Roth? Should we do this? Should we do that? Really is a numbers game. And I'm not saying it's not important. We do it with all of our clients, right? Income planning and tax advantage strategies and all that kind of stuff. It's important, but it's very academic. Meaning that, you know, it's an equation, right? There's an answer to it. We think that the majority of the value that we can bring clients is to improve their actual investing results. Now, obviously, there's no guarantee to that, right? Nobody can. But one of the ways that we improve investing results is we've got to have a good understanding of what's going on around us. And you know, the same is true with life, right? It's probably why so many of you listen to this radio show. You're gathering information on a constant basis. I also know that most people this radio show have this radio show on in their car all the time. So you now that knife cuts both ways, because a lot of you are sitting there going, yeah, that's why we're listening to you go on and on about this, just because we're just automatically have this station on. And that may be true. But this is why we want to try to focus a lot on the economic side of it. Just like I said, we feel like it's a value that we're bringing you as listeners and the clients as well, because nobody really likes to get into these topics. So anyway, without further ado, let's talk about it. So there's some big conflicting economic signals. One of the things that we're keeping an eye on is the surge in what we call covenant light loans. So it's loans that are being issued, debt that is being traded when you hear me say loans, debt, bonds, they're all the same thing. A bond is a debt that has been securitized, packaged, so it can be sold to a consumer or an investor group or whatever, right? Loans are what's inside of a bond. That's what a bond is. And debt is just synonymous with that, right? So the issuance of covenant light loans has surged over the last 3 years. And we're starting to begin, it's nothing crazy, but we're starting to see delinquency rates on those loans go up. The other thing that we've seen recently in the last couple months, it's fairly new, is an increase in mortgage delinquencies. Okay, neither of those two things are good. Now, they're not bad either. These are things that we would expect to see happening. They're normal, but they're things that we expect to see toward the end of a cycle. As a matter of fact, at the end of a cycle, right? These are recessionary forces. Now, we've talked extensively on the show before about record consumer debt, record corporate debt. Those two are signals that you're nearing the end of a cycle, right? Now, the interesting thing about all this is that there are also some really good things going on. You know, the whole scare with the whole Trump thing and tariffs and all that kind of stuff. It's looking like, and again, this isn't me, you know, saying, oh, I was right or, you know, whatever. I don't really care about that. Getting the call, figuring out what's going on is more important to me. Truthfully, right? Investing, you don't get any points for being right unless you invested accordingly. So, but the whole Trump tariff scare, it came up again in the last 2 weeks, and we've seen it cause some market volatility, but it's starting to really sound like it's exactly what we thought it was, which is posturing, or what we'd call negotiating, right? You gotta lead with the hammer to make people believe you're gonna use it. And I think that's exactly what Trump has done, and I think he's been very astute in doing that. Now, obviously, you've got the liberal media with the hand-wringing and freaking out. No, he's going to incite trade wars. And how in the world are you going to get China to come to the table and play it straight unless they are worried that you're going to drop an economic bomb on them? And the only way to make them worried that you're going to drop an economic bomb on them is to convince them that you'll actually do it. Right? And I think, to Trump's credit, I think he's convinced the world that he'll do it. And what have we seen? We've seen some rhetoric coming out of Beijing from the PBOC, the People's Bank of China, that was sort of, you know, a kind of attacking Trump for that. But in the last week, you've kind of seen that posturing settle down a little bit and offering to come to the table. Now you've got Kim Jong-un out in, you know, North Korea sitting there offering to come to the table and denuclearize. And these are positive economic forces. You had Trudeau, which blew me away. Trudeau saying that there were positive discussions and positive momentum around the negotiating table as it related to NAFTA. Now, the reason we bring these up, and I don't want you guys to sit there going, wait a second, you're the gloom and doom guy. What are you talking about now? Are you swinging to the other side of the table? No. Look, like I said, in this business, getting it right and putting clients in the right place is all that matters. If that means we have to change our opinion or our stance, it's like the old adage, right? My opinion changes when the facts change, as it should. Now, we haven't changed, and I'm not saying I'm not worried. I am. I think there's a lot more risk out there in capital markets than there is upside. Does not mean that there's not upside left. Does not mean that things can't keep going up. There's just a lot of risks. This has been going on for a long time. Having said that, we also have to acknowledge the positives that are going on. Another positive, potentially, is the rumor, nothing's happened yet, but kind of the rumor about pressure being put on Amazon. Now, you've heard me say this on the show before. I'm a huge fan of Amazon. We use them for all kinds of stuff. I think I probably get like 5 Amazon packages a day delivered to our house. My wife loves it, and so do we. I also have incredible admiration for Bezos and how he's built that company. And I just, you know, you can't say enough good things about them. However, you know, I think that there's a cost, right? They're putting a lot of pressure on a lot of retailers. They've driven a lot of retailers out of business. I think that they're probably a net drain on jobs overall. And there's some pressure being put on that sector, which could be an economic positive. The other things, obviously, we've got the wind of the whole tax relief plan, right? Trump cutting taxes. And here's the other thing that suddenly people quit talking about. The infrastructure spending bill. I look at that as almost baked in. And here's the reason why. If markets continue to falter and the economy turns down, that will be the impetus to get the infrastructure bill through Congress. The other side of it is to me, it's a political no-brainer. There are going to be Republicans against it because of the fiscal implications. And, you know, for that reason, I'm against it. I mean, I just think that we've spent ourselves into oblivion and nobody wants to turn off the tap. But again, we got to play the field in front of us, right? And the infrastructure bill, regardless of how bearish you are on markets and how bad or how high you think prices are and how dicey you think they are, the infrastructure bill, no question, will be a wind at the back of this economy. Then you've got things like Saudi Arabia now allowing Israeli flights, which sounds kind of weird, but it really signifies a big thawing. They're allowing Israeli air flights to go through their airspace. So you add all this up, I just think it would be incredibly hilarious with all the liberal hand-wringing and all the resist Trump talk, right? And you guys know me, you listen to the show. I don't like to get into politics too much because I think that takes our focus off what's really going on financially and as it relates to investments. But I think it would be incredibly ironic if the ultimate villain on the left, the racist, the white supremacist Trump, was able to bring some type of Middle East peace negotiation, if he's able to denuclearize North Korea, if he gets a fair trade deal with China, if he reorgs NAFTA and undoes a lot of the damage that's done. How poetic, it's just talk about poetic justice, right? And it won't stop them because these are people that are unhinged that don't care about the facts anyway. But it cracks me up. And look, there's a lot of stuff I disagree with Trump on. I'm no Trump shill, right? I'm not a guy that's out there pounding the table for Trump. But I do think it's hilarious, all this resist Trump. And I stop all the time and I go, resist what? What are you so fired up about? Well, the Second Amendment. You go, the Second Amendment's been in place since the founding of the country. This is all of a sudden you're laying this at the feet of Trump? So anyway, again, I've gone on a little bit long here. We got to tie this up. The whole point of this conversation is we've got to try to cut through the noise and focus on the underlying aspects, right? There are reasons to be invested in the market. If you hear somebody out there saying it's only bearish, buy gold, buy silver, put your money under your mattress, immediately tune them out, okay? On the flip side, if you hear somebody sitting there going, it's all great, record earnings, the market's going to the sky, tune them out. As with all things in life, the truth lies somewhere in the middle. And there are a lot of risks, but there are also a lot of potential game changers on the table. We need to be involved, but we need to be protected. And if you want to know how we're doing that, how we're increasing clients' upside, so making more money, decreasing their cost, and drastically reducing their risk, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Or if you just want to call and talk about this economic stuff and shoot the breeze with me, do that too. I enjoy it. Call us, 866-779-RISK. You can also go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, listen to our podcasts, access all of our stuff. And then also, we've still got that white paper with Roger Ibbotson, that Roger Ibbotson wrote. For those of you that don't know, we did a big segment on Roger Ibbotson last week on the show last weekend. You can go again to the podcast, knowyourriskradio.com. You can listen to that piece. I don't want to get into it today. We don't have time. But give that white paper a read. It's fascinating, and it was very edifying for us because, finally we got a big name in finance to really back up the approach that we're taking and to echo our statements about how we need to be guarded against risk, but we also need to be guarded against interest rate risk, which a lot of people are ignoring, right? A bond alternative. And funny enough, that's exactly what Roger Ibbotson wrote his white paper on. So anyway, give us a call, go to the radio show website, but most importantly, stick with us for the next segment coming up. We've still got a lot of good stuff to talk about. And as always, thank you for joining with us and listening, and we'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that a market collapse like 2000 and 2008 could constrain or delay your retirement? Or maybe you're sitting on a pile of cash earning nothing? If so, call us and request our complimentary booklet, Common Sense Investing. Hi, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. We'll show you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, and I recommend Zach to you. Get Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Call now. Get your free copy, 866-779-RISK, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Welcome back to the show, and thank you for sticking with us. If you're just joining us, you can give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can get the free booklet that we talked to about in the breaks, Common Sense Investing, Protecting Your Retirement. Talks about our specifically our bond replacement, what we're doing for our clients to replace bonds, right? The reason we've got bonds in portfolios is for security, lack of volatility, steady income, right? What we're doing is we're using something, a fixed indexed annuity, and I don't shy away from the word. You guys listen to the show long enough, you know we don't shy away from it. We know that it was going to turn a lot of people off. That's fine. You got to be reeducated. People do not realize how valuable these tools are for retirement, especially when we compare them to bonds, cash, CDs, all this other kind of stuff. This is not the main part of our business. It's not the main thing that we do, but it's a very integral part. If we can have a risk-free, now remember, when we say that in this industry, especially on the air, we got to be very careful, right? We can't just throw that around. Not as a fiduciary, I would get strung up by my toes if I was talking about that and that wasn't the facts. Dory Monson wouldn't endorse it if it wasn't the facts, right? But you got to educate yourself. If you've got a bias against those things, biased against structured products or insurance products for the sake of investment, I understand it because I did too. Educate yourself. You got to hedge your risk. We want to lower costs. And the main idea to these products, we've talked about this show 100 times. I don't want to get stuck on it. But the main idea is we get somewhere between, depending on the product, 50 to 70% of the upside of the stock market. We're guaranteed against loss and they don't charge us management fee. As you can imagine, that's a heck of a lot. These have been way more productive for our clients than bonds. And they will continue to be as bonds rise. As bonds rise, interest rates go up, bond prices drop. It's bad news, especially when you're sitting on the lowest interest rates in human history. Not quite now because we're off zero, but in terms of bond pricing, we're still looking at the highest priced bond market with the lowest interest rates in recorded human history, going back to the Aramean times and, you know, all the way back to 5000 BC when they were trading with grain. And there's a lot of debate. Is the bull market in bonds dead? Are we in a bond bear market? Look, once again, missing the forest for the trees. Here's what we do know. We know that bonds pay us less than the inflation rate to hold them. People go, oh, well, that's not true. The inflation rate's only 2%. Look, don't believe this stated inflation rate. The CPI is a joke. They took the cost of fuel, the cost of food out of it. Again, we've talked about this at great length. When you look around outside, when you look around your neighborhood, when you talk, do you see a world with no inflation? When you're paying $3.80 at the pump for gas, I don't even know. I mean, we went to Costco the other day with the kids, and I love Costco. It would have been way worse at the store, but I about fell over. I mean, we load up, right? We got the three kids, especially the two boys. Man, as they get older, they are sucking the grub down, and they're still really young. I'm scared to death what that's going to look like when they're teenagers. Anyway, though, inflation all around you, right? It's nuts. And it's more nuts to sit there and try to make the argument that the CPI is at 1.9. My point is, interest rates have only one way to go. Deflation has been the scare for the last 30 years. Inflation is going to become a problem. It's an eventuality. It's not a question of it's if, it's a question of when. As that happens, interest rates go up and bondholders get absolutely smoked. Now, let me get into the real topic, because this parlays really well into what I want to talk about in this segment. But to tie that up, if you want to know what we're doing that gives you that upside of the stock market, the guarantee against loss, no management fees, no upfront costs, yes, it is possible. Do not just summarily dismiss it and go, oh, that's a sales pitch. It's not. We use it with our clients every single day. Dory Monson talks about it on his show. He's endorsed the product. Roger Ibbotson wrote a white paper that we put up on our website about this. It's phenomenal, and virtually every investor we've run into could benefit from it as a bond replacement, cash replacement, something like that, but still has that protection. So anyway, getting into that bond discussion. Now, again, this isn't really actionable, but it's just something I want to talk with you guys about, and I think it's a great way to learn, especially for you aspiring money managers or people that are managing their own money or people that just want to have a deeper understanding about what's going on in the world around them. And I thought, as we were doing show prep, there was some debate. I was like, you know, maybe I don't want to get into this because it doesn't correlate directly to what we do with clients, but it's just too interesting. And I just find these situations absolutely fascinating. Tesla, right? It is so hotly debated. You've got people on both sides of the aisle. You've got an incredible car, at least the Model S. The Model X has had some issues, but still a pretty amazing car. You got a fantastic product. And that's not a political statement. I don't own an electric car. I'm not saying you should, you shouldn't. I'm just saying those cars are pretty amazing. You plug them into your wall when you're done, you get 300 miles of range off them or something, go 0 to 60 and like 2.8 faster than a Ferrari. Very low maintenance. It's an incredible car. But how does that correlate to the stock? And if you want to see a picture of overvaluation, if you want to have an example of what we're talking about and over-indebtedness and burning cash and all that kind of stuff, look at Tesla. Now, everything that I say about Tesla, we have no position. I am advocating no position. It is not the type of investment we want our clients in. That does not mean it's not going to make money. What it means is you got a company that is valued as far as the market goes at about right around $50 billion. They were up about six to about $60 billion until their stock got smoked in the last week. But valued at around $50 billion, which is, I think it's about $15 to $20 billion more than Ford. Last year, Ford sold, I want to say, 6 million vehicles and made $7.5 billion in profits. Tesla sold, I want to say, 120,000 vehicles and burned $4 billion in cash. And yet Tesla's worth 40% more than Ford. Now, there's some reasons. Tesla's got other products they're launching, like their solar panels that they're putting on roofs that look like shingles, pretty attractive stuff. I've heard, and this is anecdotal, so don't quote me, but I've heard they're not the best quality. There's been some complaints about it, but they sure do look good. They're also coming out with a new semi truck that they say can go 2 million miles without, significant spends on maintenance and things like that. It's obviously all electric, so it's not burning diesel. They're doing some amazing stuff, but then we look over to the stock. And the stock, look, I'm going to cut right through the smoke. If you've invested in the stock, I wish you all the best. Hopefully you've made money. Hopefully you haven't lost. But the stock's a dumpster fire, right? The company has got, I think we're approaching $11 billion in debt. They've got a series of new bonds that have to be rolled over, which means they've got to raise more money. Now, the issue with that is because they're having some financial difficulties. Well, and then not to mention yesterday, they announced a 120,000 car recall. So that's going to cost them more. And like I said, their corporate bonds are coming due, so they're going to have to roll them. Now, that's significant because their bonds have been getting beaten up just as bad, if not worse, than their stock. So that means when they go to roll that debt over, they've got to do it at a higher price. They got to do it at higher interest rates to incentivize the investors to come in and to buy those bonds, which means that their debt servicing costs go up. Spend some time. I would encourage you, spend some time to go look at their balance sheet, look at their cash flow statements. Go look at, if nothing else, just for entertainment purposes. Because watching what happens to Tesla, in my opinion, I think Tesla's down to about 3 to 4 months. They're running out of runway, and the stock is just starting to reflect that. Now, that means that they're either going to figure it out or they're going to go through some tough times. I don't think that you'll see them disappear. I think that if their stock drops far enough, you'll see them get bought by somebody else and restructured, because it's a valuable brand. It's a great product. But as far as a stockholder goes, I wouldn't touch their equity with a 10-foot pole. If you like it, if you've researched it, great. I'm not telling you to sell it. I'm saying for us and our clients. And the reason why is value. What we talk about on the show all the time, value and managing risk. When you look at Tesla's stock, there's just very little intrinsic value. You have to believe that this miracle run that they're on is going to continue. You also have to believe that somehow they're going to pull financial rabbits out of their hats. You also have to believe that the appetite for their stock is never going to abate. And why do I say that? Because their business isn't making money. They've got to bring in outside funds. So when you see the yield on their bonds spiking like it currently is, and you see their stock dropping, we sit there and go, uh-oh. Now, I think this is interesting because Tesla is part of that technological group of stocks, you know, your Facebooks, your Amazons, your Netflix. It's grouped in there, whether right or wrong. It's an automobile company, but it's grouped into that. It's not part of FANG, but it's kind of a sidecar, if you will. But my point is, what I'm saying is, it looks like this could be the beginning of the market waking up and realizing, hey, these companies aren't perfect. Facebook is doing some shady things. They don't deserve that lofty a multiple. Tesla may not be able to make it financially. What is Google doing? Who is Cambridge Analytica, right? This is the beginning of cracks in the narrative. And I think Tesla is a perfect example of that. And if you don't think narrative is important, look around you. Narrative is driving everything in this world. Politics, guns are bad, ban guns, that's the narrative. Buy stocks. They can't go, you know, they'll never quit going up. It's amazing. We're going to infinity beyond. That's the narrative. Trump's going to blow up the world. Right? It's all narrative driven. And I don't pretend to know why. It's an interesting change. To some degree, it always has been. But I think it's because, for the most part, people don't want to do research and they've gotten lazy, and buying into narratives is easier. But when we see narratives cracking on these kind of things, we've got to be careful. We've got to understand what risks we're up against and what risks we can afford to take. And we also have to know how those risks fit into our long-term goals, financially, our retirement goals, our money goals, and does our portfolio represent the appropriate risk levels that we should be taking, costs we should be paying, and are we making enough? And if you want to better understand those answers, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. I'll walk you right through it, 15-minute phone consultation. And if you want to, we can set up an in-person consultation. But guys, there is no question, we've got a better way to do it. If you want less risk and better returns on your portfolio and you don't want to pay as much, call us. And really, who doesn't? But you got to be open to thinking a little bit outside the box. And you don't have to trust us. We're going to show you research from some of the brightest minds in the industry. And hopefully we get that across on our radio show. We don't do anything unless we research it. We don't do a radio show unless we research it. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. You can also go to the radio show website, listen to our different podcasts, and go read that white paper that Roger Ibbotson put out. We added that to knowyourriskradio.com last week. Educate yourself, especially if you think insurance is bad for investments, especially if you think annuity is the dirtiest word in finance, which is a recurring. And I've coined that, by the way. I got to take credit for that one, the dirtiest word in finance. If you believe that, like I used to, go to knowyourradio.com and read what Roger Ibbotson has to say about it. And if you don't know who Roger Ibbotson is, Google him. Educate yourselves. Don't just buy the narrative. Most of you don't buy the narrative in politics, which is why you listen to this radio show. On the other hand, most of you buy it in finance. So don't. Educate yourself. Give us a call. Anyway, gotta run. Take a quick break. We'll be right back with our final segments and client question of the week. Stick with us. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that a market collapse like 2000 and 2008 could constrain or delay your retirement? Or maybe you're sitting on a pile of cash earning nothing? If so, call us and request our complimentary booklet, Common Sense Investing. Hi, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. We'll show you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, and I recommend Zach to you. Get Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Call now. Get your free copy, 866-779-RISK, 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. And if you're just joining us, this is Zach Abraham with Know Your Risk Radio. You probably heard that in the intro, though, but my producer was reminding me to say that. I get carried away. If you guys can't tell, I get pretty passionate about these different topics, and sometimes I forget to tell people who they're listening to. So we'll work on that a little bit. But wanted to get into question of the week. And we teased this a little bit earlier, but it was tough to pick from, so we'll probably go over a couple of them, right? But first of all, and I want to get deeper into this because this has to do with the Tesla conversation, loosely anyway. Has to do with the Tesla conversation we had in the last segment. And got a call from a guy this week. And he was the one, again, we talked about this earlier in the show. He was the one that was asking the questions. You know, how did you know this was going to happen? And I said, what? And, you know, tech, you were talking about it this weekend on the show. And then all of a sudden this week, tech gets hammered. And you don't have to know. Right. And nobody knows the timing. And I told him that. I said, look, I didn't, call it luck, call it whatever. But when you see these things happening and you see these wheels turning and you see these unstoppable forces rolling down the pipe, you just know that eventually, again, the timing's hard. It's, in my opinion, impossible to time those things because they're driven by too many other aspects. But it's impossible to know. And he goes, well, yeah, but you did. And I said, no, I knew like everybody else knew. And this is why we focus on valuation, guys. And I think that this is a concept that most people don't understand because they get fixated by the fact that a stock is going up or a stock is going down. Look, in the short run, no one has a clue. Because there's too many different... The number one thing I always try to tell clients is there are no gurus. Nobody knows for sure. If you think they do, and even if they show you proof they do, they got lucky. Or they're value guys, right? The only way that you can quote unquote see around corners or what people think it is if you're constantly focused on value. And what I mean by that is when tech gets blown up, which is inevitable, now I'm not saying it's going away, but what will probably happen with these big tech stocks we talk so much about is there will probably be a 10 to 12, maybe even 13 year period of time where they underperform, so at least the big ones. That's what happened in the last tech bubble. No, I don't expect this bubble bursting to be exactly like that one. I don't expect the period of time after that to be exactly like the last. But there'll be a lot of similarities. There always is. And what you typically see is you typically see a big drop, and then people that own those stocks, they either realize the losses, sell and move on, or they've got to sit on those stocks for a very long period of time until the bad smell and the bad, you know, images in people's heads wear off, and you know, the sector gets new life breathed into it. And the way you know, right, the movie The Big Short, everybody goes, how did those guys know? They didn't. They were just looking at value. And they had the courage to go against the grain. But the only way that you do that is if you focus on value. That's the only, that is the only advantage that there really is in investing, is that when you're looking at the value, the underlying, you know, guts of the business, while everybody else is focused on the cosmetic side of it. They're focused on whether the stock went up. Did it hit its numbers? Where is it at in relation to its 200-day moving average? Blah, 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 blah. You know what? Throw it out the window. I'm not saying that you can't look at some of those things and help them help you decide to make your decision, right? What I'm saying is they shouldn't be the primary focus. And so I kind of give this talk to this guy, and he goes, well, what should be the primary focus then? And I said, value. And he goes, what do you mean by that? And I told him the analogy that I've shared with many of you that have called in. And I said, look, treat a stock like a gas station or a corner store. If you walked in to a corner store, let's say we had a $5 million portfolio. We walk into a corner store that's got a for sale sign up on it. And we say to the guy, how much do you want for the place? And he says, $2 million. Every single one of us, the next question out of our mouth is going to be, what'd you make last year? And then what'd you make the previous 5 years? What's the trend? What do you think you'll do next year? What is that, guys? You are making a value assessment. How do we value a company? Off the cash flow, off the earnings, off the revenue, off the trajectory of those things, the costs, the risks, the guts. We don't sit there and do a survey out in front of the corner store and ask people if they think it's worth $2 million or $2.5 million or $3 million and then base our decision off that. But we do with stocks. Don't. Not because it can't work for periods of time. It can, and it does, and that's what makes it so dangerous, because it sucks people in. But the story always ends the same way. Businesses reflect their value. The value is determined by the profitability and the cash flow, and that is it. Can it improve? Can it deteriorate? Of course. Does it mean that we can't pay a little bit much for a company that really doesn't have the revenue there, but we think it's got incredible potential? No, but you need to know that, and you need to realize that you're not in a large cap safe company. If you own Boeing stock right now, I love Boeing. If you own Boeing stock right now, you own a stock that is completely detached from its long-term valuation metrics. It doesn't mean it can't go higher, but you need to be aware of that. So anyway, if you can't tell, I get a little fired up about these value conversations. Now, if you want to call, as we say on every segment, if you want to call and talk to me more about this, do a free over-the-phone consultation, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. If you want to get our free booklet about how to own, how to get 50 to 60, 70% of the upside of the stock market while taking zero risk of loss, being insured against loss, not paying a management fee, no upfront costs, call us. We'll get you that booklet. You can go read the white paper about it on knowyourriskradio.com, written by Dr. Roger Ibbotson, professor at Yale. And call us at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Love to talk to you guys. We're not going to twist your arm. We're not going to try to, you know, bulldog you into this. We just want to get you educated. So give us a call. Love to talk to you. Until then, we'll see. We'll talk to you guys all next week. Have a great weekend. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.